College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, I will be joined by Iona head coach Rick Pitino. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being sponsored by our great sponsor, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, there was no Final Four weekend this past weekend. There was no NCAA tournament over the last couple of weeks due to coronavirus, but we do move forward on this podcast, and we do put ourselves in situations where we turn the page rather quickly. And upon reflection, aside from the fact that everything was canceled and everything was in a situation where we saw the NCAA tournament and the end of conference tournaments, for that matter, be in a scenario where they were not played, when you look back at March of 2020, the story in college basketball was Iona hiring Rick Pitino. It brought instant credibility. It brought a buzz to the New York metropolitan area. Iona has already landed, you know, six or seven commitments since Rick Pitino was hired as head coach. Keep in mind that Iona has not been able to have people to campus to visit. This is all based on pedigree and reputation. The buzz is already palpable. But what I'm curious is, how was Rick Pitino's journey from losing to Michigan in the 2017 NCAA tournament, to being fired at the University of Louisville, to then coaching professionally in Greece, to now being the head coach of Iona? We'll find out when the Hall of Famer Rick Pitino joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Before we talk to Iona's Rick Pitino, I want to tell you about our new sponsor, Harry's Razors. Hoops may be on hold, but your grooming schedule shouldn't be, and now is not the time to be overpaying for razors at the drugstore. Sometimes it's better to stay inside something Harry's knows well. That's why they ship directly to you so you can experience the quality of a Harry's shave in just a few days from the convenience of your own home. Take it from me, Harry's is a return to the essentials. Quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. They've cut out the middleman, manufacturing blades in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. That means you get incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices. Let me tell you, the smooth, comfortable shave I get from Harry's razor is second to none. And the rejuvenating scent of the shave gel is just what I need first thing in the morning. I love the shave that I get with Harry's products. And right now you can join me in the 10 million others who have tried Harry's with a special trial offer at harrys.com/hoops. And with their 100% quality guarantee, there's no risk. Really, if you don't love your shave, let them know and you get a full refund. Listeners of my show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/hoops. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, five-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/hoops to start shaving better today. All right, there was no NCAA tournament in the month of March. There was no Final Four national championship game over the last couple of days. But the story last month during the month of March was Iona hiring Rick Pitino. That has permeated through the first few days of April. And the head coach joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And coach, what is it like working remote when you've taken over a new job?
Well, I've called about 30, 40 recruits And I said, I really can't get into the campus and the facilities. I can talk about the style of play and other things, but I can't talk about the campus because I haven't seen the campus. I'm in Miami, and I haven't been on the campus. I don't know what it's like. And we were having great success out there, and it's the first time I ever recruited without being on campus.
Now, I know you've done a lot of different things in the last couple of years. You've went across the country to visit different practices. You coach professionally in Greece. But for Rick Pitino, when did you believe that it would be possible to return to college basketball as a head coach?
You know, I really didn't think too much about returning. I was focused more on professional basketball. I was thinking about a possible return to the NBA more so than college. But when the president and athletic director visited Real Madrid, told me about their vision, I became interested once again, and it all worked out because the president knew me. He was the president of Transylvania, a small school right near the University of Kentucky. He came to quite a few of my Louisville games, and I got to know him. And when he moved over to become the president of Iona, it was a nice transition for me.
Now, you've taken over different programs at different times. What is it like taking over during this pandemic versus the first year of other programs that you've taken over?
Well, I think a priority in the other situations, you got in the gym right away. You wanted to find out exactly what you had returning. Most of the programs I took over, well, the programs were down. Even Kentucky and Louisville were way down. Kentucky was on probation. Louisville was, I believe, had a losing record almost. And so they were down programs. And you worked out the players just to see what you had coming back so you knew how to recruit. Well, in this situation with a pandemic going on, I have no concept of what I have coming back. I know the cupboard's quite bare because the talented players are all moving on and graduating, and they're coming off a losing year. So generally, when you take over a program like this, it's unfortunately they had a great coach who was doing a fantastic job, and unfortunately did not coach last year as he got sick, and the program really took a nosedive because of his absence.
Now, you had mentioned that, you know, you haven't been on campus, you haven't met with recruits, but you've gotten several commitments already. Are you even a little bit surprised with how recruiting has initially gone at Iona?
Well, we have a lot to sell. We have a strong player development system. We have a style of play that people remember, at least the coaches and some of the members of the family remember. And then also the ability to play right away. When the cupboard is usually bare, recruits are very attracted to that type of situation because it means they will get playing time right away. And we've got some players from foreign countries, certainly junior college players. And, you know, you can't be specific right now because of the rules of who they are. You know, it's a challenging situation. But also when the opportunity is there for playing time, it's an easier sell than other situations where you have a lot of juniors and seniors returning.
Iona head coach Rick Pitino joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, you haven't coached a college basketball game since 2017 against Michigan in the NCAA tournament. What are the biggest differences in Rick Pitino now as a coach versus when you coached against Michigan in 2017?
Well, you're always learning, and certainly the EuroLeague was a great learning experience for me. At my age, when you can continually grow and learn, It's a wonderful thing to have that at your disposal. And the EuroLeague was certainly that. It was not only a cultural experience, but I learned an awful lot about a different brand of basketball. Some will translate into the college game, some won't. But it was very rewarding, to say the least.
You know, I heard you mention several times the offense that you ran in Greece, that you planned to run at Iona. What is the biggest difference in this offense compared to the offense that you ran while you were at Louisville?
Well, we'll run a lot of more motion. The EuroLeague offenses, I thought, were as good as I've witnessed as a basketball coach. There's a lot more ball movement. I've always played in practice with a 24-second clock. I've never played with a 30-second clock in practice. I want to get in our offense. I want to cross half court in 4 or 5 seconds and get into our offense and move the basketball at 4 or 5 times in a 5-6 second span. And that's what the EuroLeague does. They create a lot of movement. I'd say 80% of their passes are bounce passes, which I really like. So it's a great brand of basketball. It's sort of like when the San Antonio Spurs were in their prime and the way they moved the basketball, the Golden State Warriors, when they were winning their championships before the injuries hit. They were counting on a lot of passing, a lot of assists in a basketball game. And that's sort of the EuroLeague model.
Now, in one of your books, Rebound Rules, you go into a portion of the book when you describe something called the darkness of doubt. For you personally, during these last couple of years, what was the lowest point of your time away from college basketball for Rick Pitino?
Well, you know what's interesting? I was doing podcasts, and I had Jay Wright, and then the next one I had on was Brett Brown of the Philadelphia 76ers, who I coached at BU. And he was telling me, I said, Brett, how did you get to Australia? He said he was home at a very young age and didn't have a job. He said to his dad, I think I want to take off to Australia and see what it's like. And they didn't have a lot of money. They were, you know, middle-class family. And his dad gave him the money for a plane flight. And he just packed his bags and took off for a foreign land, Australia, at a very young age. And I remember him telling me the story. He met his wife over there. He became a semi-professional basketball player, then an assistant coach, then a national coach. And I was amazed that someone that young could just take off to a country like Australia, a whole different continent. And when it was offered to me, I had to leave on Christmas Eve to take off for Greece. And I just thought about the podcast with Brett Brown, how he just packed his bags and took off. And I did the same exact thing, left my family on Christmas Eve. So I guess the first few months in Greece were probably at its nadir. I don't think it could get. I think that's about the lowest it's been because I knew no one. It was a country I was not. Although 90% of the people do understand and speak some sort of English, it was easy to communicate, but did not have a lot of friends. The players were really my friends, the staff. The second year, this year, was much easier. I really enjoyed it much more. But traveling to Moscow, Tel Aviv, Istanbul, Lithuania, Berlin, Milan, Barcelona, Madrid, seeing places like that, sold out arenas against great basketball teams was really a fun experience.
You know, I think I missed you by a couple of days when you were at Cincinnati practice and I came to practice and some of the coaches, Mick Cronin and his staff, was telling me that, you know, you were on the floor and you were showing some of the guys the drills you used to do with Terry Rozier. What was it like visiting some of your pupils and obviously having affection for the job that they were doing, but at the same time leaving and not having a team of your own at the college level?
Well, it was difficult. You know, at first, you go through different cycles. Anytime you get fired, the first thing you do is you make excuses and you point fingers at everybody else except for the person in the mirror. And, you know, it's after you get done doing that, then you start thinking about what went wrong and you have to take responsibility because you're the head coach. You can no longer point fingers at other people for their mistakes. And then you move on and say, okay, what am I going to do now from a constructive standpoint? How do I continue to grow, continue to learn? And the only way to do that is to travel around, see other people practice, maybe help them in some small way. And that's what I did, just to stay involved, keep my mind stimulated with the game of basketball, keep learning, keep growing, so you don't get stale. And bitterness really, really is something that you cannot enter the world of bitterness because it accomplishes nothing in life, and you just got to move on. You just have to move on with your life. We certainly cherish the past, respect it, but don't live in it. And you have to live where you are today, which is the present tense.
And part of your legacy, and a big part of your legacy, is having former assistants who have gone on to have great success. But now you don't just have assistants who are having great success. I mean, Mick Cronin, after leading Cincinnati to the NCAA tournament year after year as the head coach at UCLA, nobody goes to the tournament every single year at Seton Hall, but that's what's happened with Kevin Willard at the helm. And Frank Vogel is obviously the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. You've always used the term crossing a bridge to getting to prosperity. What is it like having your former assistants not just have success, but having success in some of the most prestigious places in the sport?
Yeah, and Kevin Keats is doing quite well at NC State. I think the one thing I've always tried to do, I never hire assistant coaches. I always hire what I call future head coaches, people that have a strong desire to be a head coach. And I don't want to hire yes men. I want to hire people that totally have a strong opinion of the game of basketball and are willing to grow in not only our system, but to lend something to the program. And in all, they all come in as shy, introverted coaches, and they leave very outgoing, extroverted coaches, very confident in their abilities. It started with guys like Stu Jackson and Herb Sendick and Billy Donovan at Providence College. And then even grew with Jim O'Brien at Kentucky, who went on to great success with the Celtics and certainly the other pro teams that he coached with the Pacers and the Sixers. So it's something unique. You know, when somebody can be your student manager, then your video person, and now as you look back, he's the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, you realize that a bridge was built that held pretty damn strong, and a lot of people have crossed over to prosperity and have grown into some of the best coaches in the game right now, and I'm quite proud of that.
Now, some of the people we just talked about are some of your top assistants. I know you have taken, obviously, full ownership of what happened at Louisville, but I'm curious, do you think that you vetted the people that you hired as assistant coaches during the last years at Louisville with the same thoroughness that you did earlier in your career as a head coach?
Yeah, I think I go overboard on vetting people out. But you know what happens? They all vet out. I'll give you an example. Still to this day, I'm as upset as any person could ever be at one of my young men, Andre McGee, for what he did. He not only cost so many people their jobs, he did so many things that were just despicable and reprehensible behavior. But I look back, he was a great captain, a great student. His parents are wonderful people. He carried himself with great integrity and dignity for his 4 years he was there. He called me from Germany, and no different than Billy Donovan or Jeff Van Gundy, who I gave a break as a GA. He called me from Germany and said he's going to get cut. He'd like to go into coaching. I said, come on in. I paid him out of my own pocket to be assistant strength coach. I moved him up the ladder from GA, assistant strength coach of GA, to ops coach. And something went wrong. He went down the wrong path. And sometimes in life, people do that. They just go down the wrong path for the wrong reason. I don't know the background of why. I wish today, if there was one thing I'd like to find out of why, because there was nothing to gain in anything he did. He was an operations coach. So if a recruit came to the University of Louisville, it wouldn't be because of an operations coach. He would never get any credit ever. So he went down the wrong path. I have forgiven him in my mind, even though it cost us all so much. I have forgiven him. But he was a quality human being that you talk about vetting out. I coached him. He was my captain. He was a Dean's List student. So you just have to forgive. You have to move on. And I did vet people out, but people make mistakes. Certainly I've made my mistakes in life, and people make mistakes. They've got to atone for their mistakes, and you move on. But at this point in life, you just can't hold any grudges. You have to understand what Louisville's a school that has great integrity, and unfortunately that integrity was spoiled. It cost my athletic director a job. I can look back and say I deserve to get fired because I was the leader of the ship. I was the captain, even though I don't believe in breaking rules. If people below me did it, I have to be responsible for that. The only thing I'm looking back on and I'm so disappointed in is the fact that the athletic director got fired, because he was truly the best AD in the game. He did so much for that school, so much for that campus, took him from Conference USA to the AAC, to the Big East, to the ACC, built over $250 million worth of athletic facilities, changed the entire campus, and he got fired because he wouldn't fire me, and that was just wrong.
Iona head coach Rick Pitino joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. You know, you had mentioned, obviously, Tom Jurich, and you had so many great moments with him. You went to the Final Four back-to-back in 2012 and 2013. And in 2013, you won a national championship. I remember I was doing an interview with you after that, I think, for CBS, and you said that your joy at that point in your career came from family and friends having enjoyment, having so many great dinners at the Big East tournament and in the NCAA tournament, having so many nights out. How much did that aspect of returning to New York help make Iona a seamless transition?
Well, it was more the president. As I stated earlier, he was the president of Transylvania. I think if Iona would have called me and I did not know the president, I don't think I would have taken the job. I think I probably would have stayed and maybe looked for an NBA job after that. But because the reason I got fired at Louisville was because the whole board of trustees changed and the president changed. The prior president and board of trustees were 100% behind Tom Jurich and behind me. The governor changed the entire board, fired the president, and then we all suffered the consequences of a new regime. I had to know the president of the school I was going to work for. Trust was going to be so important to me because of the experiences I just went through. So I knew Dr. Seamus Carey. I was really, really impressed with him. Then I met the athletic director. I was super impressed with him. I knew every place I've been, I had an unbelievable relationship with the AD at BU, John Simpson, at the famous AD and Hockey Hall of Famer Lou Lamoriello, who's now with the Islanders at Providence College, C.M. Newton, the great AD at Kentucky, and Tom Jurich at Louisville. All the ADs, as well as the presidents, were all very closely aligned with me personally as well as professionally. So that was really important that I got to know the president as well as the AD, and Iona is certainly a great fit for that.
No, and I mean, the first part of building a program is obviously getting players. You're doing that. The next part is obviously scheduling, and scheduling is a little different now. 20-game league schedules are now almost in every power conference. It's a lot harder to get quality games in a non-power conference. How will Iona fill out their schedule with compelling games that will give you an opportunity to move the needle in November and December?
Well, it's probably not going to show up this year, but the following year, I think Gonzaga is a pretty darn good model for all of us to follow who are not in non-Power 5 conferences, is to get as many high-powered neutral games as you can possibly get some home and homes going. That would be very strong. Because of Brock Lesnar losing a wrestling match last night, I got Minnesota to come to the Garden to play in a friendly wager with my son, Richard. So we're looking to build non-conference games, get them in the Garden, home and home, as well as neutral site games outside of the MAC, certainly.
We're coming up now on the 25th anniversary of one of the great teams of the last couple of decades, your 96 Kentucky team. That was one of the best teams I've seen in my lifetime. It seems like a good idea to celebrate that team or coming up on that time at Rupp Arena. What are the chances in the next couple of years of Iona heading to Lexington to play Kentucky and John Calipari either next season or the one after to honor that 96 team?
If John's willing to come back to the Garden and play a home and home, I'd certainly do that. I have nothing but I spent 7 years at Kentucky, and I called it Camelot. Never had a bad day at the University of Kentucky, although they didn't welcome me very well when I was at Louisville. I think Iona is a little bit better situation coming into play. But I would certainly, I didn't realize it was our 25th until you just mentioned that. I certainly would go in there if they would return to the Garden. That would be a great situation for not only Iona, but to get Kentucky back to the Garden.
Now, your coaching tree is obviously going to continue to extend almost everywhere, and it's going to be in the league that you're in now. You had a classic win over Steve Masiello in Manhattan in the 2014 NCAA tournament. Your thoughts on now going against him at least twice a year as you're back in the MAC?
Well, not only an ex-player of mine and assistant coach, but he also my New York Knick ball boy. I first met Steven's dad was one of my closest friends in life. Steven was my ball boy with the Knicks, then became a player of mine at the University of Kentucky and then an assistant coach at Louisville. Obviously, our family's been close for years, and he's an outstanding coach. What you've got to find, and, you know, I've come from the ACC where you have a lot of Hall of Fame coaches, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski. What you find is the coaching at this level is, I won't say superior, but it is, they have to compensate so much. They may not have a five man, so they have an undersized five. They have an undersized four. They have to do so much more coaching at this level to make up for the lack of size or the lack of quickness or the lack of talent. They have to innovate and get creative so much is that the coaching is outstanding at this level. And I'm really looking forward to that. I know, unfortunately, all these guys either played for me at camp or, you know, from Shaheen Holloway to King Rice to Stephen Masiello to all these guys, Baker Dunleavy, you know, I've known them all at very young ages. To see them grow now into outstanding basketball coaches is really, really great to witness.
Final thing, Coach, you've won national titles, you've coached in the NBA, you've coached in Greece, you've coached against everybody. But now it could be for Rick Pitino and Iona a run or an opportunity as a 14 seed if you win your league, taking on a Jay Wright in a Villanova or a Roy Williams in a North Carolina as a 3 seed. How unique would it be for someone who coached the majority of his career as a favorite to close out his career as an underdog in March trying to play Cinderella?
Yeah, I think it's fun. I've been the number one of number one seeds quite a few times. And, you know, you go into 7 Final Fours and realize that I think the Providence College probably at the 5 seed was the lowest I've been. So it's, you understand being an underdog is not easy. I remember we were one of the biggest favorites in the history of the NCAA. And the first round always turned my side. I never got nervous for an Elite Eight or a Sweet 16 game. The first round game always turned my stomach because you're a big favorite. I remember we were playing San Jose State and they kept saying the biggest favorite. And we had a great team. It was the 96 team. And they said it was, I don't know what the sports line was, like 30-something points, 34, 35 points. They had a guy named Olivia St. Jean who changed his name. But we were either down one or up one at halftime. And I went into halftime and my stomach was just churning. And we wound up winning by like 34, 35 points in the game in the second half. But that feeling of that first game as a favorite, you know, because you never want to be a 1 seed losing to a 16. Now, it did happen to Virginia, which was a great feat for the team that beat them. And then Virginia went on and won the national championship the following year. But you, that 1-16 game or that 2-15 game as a favorite, you hate it. So now if we're fortunate enough to go to the tournament at Iona and you're a 15 or a 14 seed, I'm going to relish that because I won't be quite as nervous as being a 1 or a 2 seed. Maybe I will be because you're facing the Kentuckys and the Kansases of the world.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the job. I think it's obviously great for college basketball. Stay safe out there during these scary times. And as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
Great, John. Nice being with you.
We'd like to thank Iona's Rick Pitino for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Before we get to our social media portion of the program, do you ever feel like you're always on, that you just need a moment to turn off for a little bit? If the pace of things is wearing you down, take my advice and choose the one beer that's made to chill. Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. Listen, I spend a lot of time on the road. My life is always go, go, go. That's why Coors Light is the one I choose when I need a moment of chill. It's literally made to chill. Heck, even the Coors Light bottles tell you just how cold it is. The mountains turn blue. If the pace of things is wearing you down, take a moment, pause, refresh yourself. Take it from me, with all that's going on in the world today, there is no better reset button than a night of watching college basketball classic games, a pizza or two if you're me, and cracking open a can of the perfect refreshing beer for chilling, Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. Remember, it's okay to sit back and turn life off for a little bit, so when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Matthew Garrison. And it's, John, asked you a week ago or so Will Georgia Tech be a top 45 team? I've seen that you've updated that in your top 45. What will be the expectations for Georgia Tech in 2021? I think anything less than an NCAA tournament berth for Georgia Tech next season will be a major disappointment. One of the best backcourts in the ACC returns with Jose Alvarado and Michael DeVoe. Plus you have, obviously, Jordan Usher back. Josh Pastner should have an NCAA tournament team in 2021. Our next question is going to come from James Cochran. It's John. What do you think Virginia Tech will look like in year two of the Mike Young era? And look, Mike Young proved that obviously he can be very competitive in the ACC. I do think that the ACC will be better next year. I think you'll have certain programs like Notre Dame be better. I think you'll see obviously jumps from programs like NC State, who had some players sitting out, like Thomas Allen. I expect the ACC to be better across the board. Remember, Virginia Tech will have to recalibrate some things without Landers Nolly. Obviously, add North Carolina as well among the programs that will be better in the ACC. Lastly, our questions from Darnell Brody. And it's John. Do you think David Duke and AJ Reeves make Providence a tourney team next year? Not only am I expecting Providence to be a top three team in the ACE in the Big East next year, but I think Providence will have a lot better flow on offense next year. Ed Cooley sat out a pure point guard, a transfer from St. Joseph's, and Jared Bynum. He will allow Providence to have more fluidity on offense. You'll have Duke on a wing, you'll have Reeves on a wing. Both those players will be juniors. I think Providence, led by Jared Bynum at the point, will be back in the NCAA tournament in 2021. Now it's time to get some nuggets brought to you by Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial. I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, calling in the cards. Louisville got a huge commitment on Sunday night from Radford grad transfer Carleek Jones. This should stabilize the Cards' backcourt, give David Johnson another perimeter player to play with in the Louisville backcourt. Nugget number two, the mayor serving notice. Fred Hoiberg got a significant commitment on Saturday from Pitt transfer Trey McGowan's. He was looked at as one of the top sit-out transfers in the country this spring. Just like he did at Iowa State, Fred Hoiberg very slowly, incrementally building up the talent base in Nebraska's program. Nugget number three, Cage's first showcase. According to multiple sources, Louisville is going to play Oklahoma State in the 2020 Armed Force Classic in North Carolina. That will be the first showcase game for Oklahoma State freshman Cade Cunningham. Should be a terrific non-conference matchup. Nugget number four, the window is closing. I'm amazed at how few non-conference scheduling opportunities exist for programs who aren't a part of power conferences. Remember, next year, the Big East and the Pac-12 join the ACC and the Big Ten as 20-game league schedules. We are heading more and more towards an NCAA tournament dominated by the Power Five and the Big East. Nugget number five, a limited chance for growth. One thing to keep in mind, with no time on campus right now for college players in the spring and potentially the summer, this is going to inhibit player development in college basketball. Programs who thrive on getting better internally and developing fundamentals will be tested. This is also going to stunt the growth of those programs trying to rise. We'd like to thank Iona head coach Rick Pitino for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.